And hello and welcome to episode 149 of the Sound of Football podcast. A very warm welcome to you. I'm Graham Sibley and as ever I am joined by Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
And Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And
happy Jan Bilton.
Happy Jan Bilton.
Call him Happy Bilton.
Yes, yes. At this time of 20 past 9 on Monday evening. We're Sunderland 4-1 down against Aston Villa. It's a very jolly Jan Bilton who's sitting to my left. Anyway,
any horses around here that can go and punch?
I'll go and get one for you.
Bring me a horse.
Just do for you to lay out. Just a lamb.
There might be a couple of burgers in the fridge.
yeah, some free-flow mince or perhaps an Aldi lasagna. Right. Well, you can just tell how fresh our jokes are now, can't you? Talking about horse meat gags. That's so March, isn't it?
It's furlongs in that,
though. Oh, sorry. You can tell we're really getting near the end of the season.
I reserve the right to say
I know. We need a summer, don't we, to recharge our gag batteries or our gag reflexes, I don't know. And talking of which, it's coming up near end of season. It's squeaky bum time, isn't it, as they call it?
Or it is that.
Or not so squeaky if you're one of the European powerhouses who are running away with your domestic league, which seems to be the new thing in European football, doesn't it? It's you find one team and they'll just win everything, won't they?
Yeah, so it would seem so. Certainly in the senior leagues.
Definitely. Yeah, it was amazing the other day. I actually saw on Sky Sports News how they were trying to say that the Premier League was more competitive than the Bundesliga and the La Liga. Because the gap between Man United and Man City was smaller than in those other two leagues. Yeah. So this was, I think, what's his name, Mike Wedderburn, and he said it as straight-faced as you like. There wasn't even like the merest hint of irony there.
Mike Wedderburn is brilliant at saying the ridiculous and making you believe that he's being completely serious. It's a farce, but it's the way things are across the major leagues in Europe this season. For some reason, the top traditional clubs have been having a whale of a time. The only moderate exception being Paris Saint-Germain in France, who are not a traditional powerhouse but do have an awful lot of money.
Yeah, it's one of those seasons that if you hadn't read anything about football for the last 2 years, if you'd been away on a desert island and come back and then someone said, right, okay, write me down who you think the champions are of each of these leagues in Europe, and all you had to do was guess,
you'd be doing well,
you'd probably get 5 out of 5 out there for the big five leagues.
It's not much of an accumulator, is it?
No, even if you go to like somewhere like the Dutch league, Ajax top.
Yeah, which in fairness, in recent years has not always been the case. In fact, they've had their issues in their trials, haven't they, Ajax?
Yeah.
But this year, now they've pulled it together and finally sort of won themselves a trophy that I think they've been missing for some time. So it is. It's very, very old school. It's like
the one tricky one you might find, though, is Portugal. The Portuguese league, because I think it's Benfica at top at the moment, but I think both Benfica and Porto are unbeaten still.
Oh, really? Oh,
so
right.
They're about 30 points clear of the third place.
Yeah, but it was kind of ever thus, though, isn't it, really, in Portugal? I think so, anyway. I mean, I don't know how many Portuguese football enthusiasts listen to the Sound of Football more than
I suppose when they dominated the Europa League a couple of seasons back, people might have thought that there was a new golden age for Portuguese football was around the corner.
Braga was sort of the team that kind of threatened to break the Portuguese duopoly, wasn't it? But I notice here from this league table that I've hastily put together, recalled from my smartphone, that they are fourth. And yeah, 46 points and Porto are on 69. So yeah, so even in Portugal it seems to be, even though it's just two clubs rather than the one, it's still very much a... Why do you suppose that is?
I don't, it's just an anomaly. You're talking about the best teams in Europe all winning the league.
Mm.
It's not out of the realms of possibility that was going to ever happen.
But it is.
So, I mean, I know there's new challenges because there's a lot of money or new money around. Mm. But I don't think it's that surprising, the fact that established teams that have always done really well are doing really well again.
Mm.
Yeah, I suppose it's really the margins involved, isn't it, really? I mean, look, with Bayern 20 points clear, Barcelona, all right, 15 points clear. But also, as well, is the way that the a lot of the teams seem like they're just cruising to the title. I mean, this Man United team is certainly not the best Man United team that has won the title.
Oh, don't let them hear you say that on Sunday Supplement. They were arguing vigorously that this was one of the best Man United teams ever, which I thought was a...
Ever?
Yeah, well, maybe not ever, but I mean in a very long time, which I thought was a bit strong.
Mm.
Mind you, one of those guys was Neil Custis. I think he was arguing that that this was probably one of the best Manchester United teams has been, and well, I think he's controversial. Mm. Particularly given in view of what they did or didn't do in the Champions League.
Well, I mean, they were a very good team last season. They just missed out on winning the league. Mm. And then they went and bought one of the best strikers in the world. And surprise, surprise, they won the league.
Well,
was a big bold statement, wasn't it? In the summer was to buy. I mean, that's something that Bayern Munich have done. That's something that you could say about these clubs, and what they've done is maybe they've... Certainly in Germany and in England's case, they've made big fat statement signings in the summer.
Scoring goals for Man United last season wasn't a problem. They had goals in abundance. And I don't think that you could pin Man United's success this season simply on them buying Van Persie and Van Persie playing fantastically for them. Because, yeah. I think... the problems they had last season are still the same problems they have this season. The real difference is they don't draw games anymore. They've come back, I think, 19 times from a goal down, or something ridiculous like that.
That's a good fact.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it is a correct fact.
You may have made it up.
I may have made it up.
Warning, stats there, you made up.
No, but the point is that they are nothing if they're not consistent.
Yeah.
And all they've done is added to that consistency with a really world-class player, and they've stormed it.
Van Persie scored how many goals?
25.
Is it 24,
that's made a difference. And I mean, I understand what you say about their scoring goals isn't their problem, but I don't know whether they'd have had somebody.
Well, it wasn't last
year.
It wasn't last year. This year, they might certainly, in the first half of the season, they were a one-player team. It seemed as far as the goals.
A bit more rounded in the second half.
I mean, this season has been a lot more about them winning by one goal.
Right. A lot of people seem to be under the impression that Rio Ferdinand has made a big difference because he's come back into fitness and he's playing a lot better.
Well, there's also been a lot of appreciation for Michael Carrick.
I know, which I find weird, but I don't watch enough Manchester United to be able to form an opinion apart from the fact that I find it weird.
Yeah, David De Gea has been a much improved player.
Well, that was always going to be the way, though.
That was one of the more
tedious narratives when he joined, though. It was like, they're going to have to get rid of him. So, he's 12 and he's just joined Manchester United. He's going to make some mistakes.
Mm.
And inevitably, he'll get better. And Kel Surprise, that's what's happened. But, you know, I mean, Ferguson grows a lot of his players as much as he does. I mean, he will make the big bollocks out, some marquee signings like Van Persie, but he will also bring players in and allow them to make mistakes and give them a chance if he feels that they're good enough in the end. And certainly with De Gea, it's complete vindication there. It seems to be turning into a fantastic goalkeeper. Who knows?
There's also, you can look at the fact that Chelsea have been in complete disarray.
Yeah.
So, they've just written up, they wrote off the season near the beginning of it, didn't
it? All of these stories almost certainly have an element of something that's going on, with regards to the opposition, with the other teams. And I mean, initially, Juve are kind of running away with it, aren't they, as well?
Yeah.
But the Inter don't have any money left, or rather, you know, Moratti has put the brakes on spending money for the time being. AC Milan also no money. Berlusconi has various, you know, calls on his purse these days, and the club's going through a big change, and they've brought through quite a lot of young players, and the AC Milan, current AC Milan side, is actually quite exciting to watch. But again, they are going through transition, and they're being very conservative in their spending, and the same appears to be the case for Napoli, who are a bit streaky anyway and have only been a force again in Italian football for a few years, so perhaps understandably they kind of peak and then they're slightly sort of like troughing, and the two Rome clubs are just a complete mess as far as I'm aware. So
do we think that there is the possibility that that what we've seen this season, and of course it could just be coincidence that the big powerhouses have just romped away with the title in every league, it could this be the beginning of what life would be like under financial fair play, where teams that are powerful and rich anyway, teams that generate a lot of their own money, now won't have anyone to compete with if a team can't have a massive cash injection and earn their way.
It's certainly fair to say that financial fair play helps big clubs.
Yeah.
Because big clubs have got their own money, generally speaking, unless you're Manchester United.
Well, will anyone be able to compete
with Bayern? The ability to generate your own money.
Yeah.
So that should help bigger clubs. Because they are capable of turning over huge amounts of money. Even a club like Manchester United that's permanently in debt still generates and turns over huge amounts of money.
Well, it's an interesting point. I saw a stat just the other day about the amount of money Man United got from TV last season.
Right.
Now, bearing in mind that Man United didn't actually win anything last season, they were second in the TV table only to Chelsea by the tune of about 5 million. Now, when they were the only two that got over £100 million in TV revenue.
Is that just from UK rights?
That's from UK and European. And international. UK, well, that's from the Premier League and the Champions League. So, but that, I think that was for home and abroad. That was, yeah.
Right.
Because they're the most popular club in the world, one of the most popular clubs in the world, and people want to see them all over the world. And so they get lots of TV appearances, and they get paid for every time they're on telly. And so they keep the money, that keeps the money coming in, which then goes into the coffers, which then helps justify their expense in terms of, you know, financial fair play. Because they say, well, look, you know, we earn this money, so we can, you know, we can spend it to an extent. Bayern Munich, similarly. I mean, we saw an example of Bayern Munich spending power by comparison to the rest of Germany, certainly when they announced, albeit apparently reluctantly, the signing of Mario Götze from Dortmund at the end of the season for this buyout clause of €37 million or something along those lines. And, you know, I mean, it just demonstrates just what another planet they are in terms of finances. Mm. It was fantastic. I mean, it's a testimony to Dortmund that they were able to win the last two Bundesliga titles, you know, given the sheer weight, the might. Well, that
this is another thing about Lewandowski, who now is the media's darling now, really, because they've known about him for years, haven't they?
Obviously. Yes, of course. Everyone's known about Lewandowski for years. Certainly, that was possibly one of the funniest things I've heard from Jamie Redknapp, was failing to convince everybody that he hadn't heard of him about 6 weeks ago. Of course, we've all known about him for ages. No, you haven't, Chief. No, you haven't. You may have learned how to pronounce his name, but you don't know. But yeah, everyone, he's the latest darling. Now, can I make a brief aside there?
Yep.
I, as people know, I follow the German Football League very, very closely indeed. But I live in Croydon, and I'm not a professional journalist. I don't have any inside knowledge. But even I could have told you that the Lewandowski to Manchester United stories that were plastered all over the tabloids at the weekend were complete and utter bollocks. If he's going anywhere, he's going to Bayern Munich. Maybe he'll go to Spain. There is an outside chance he'll go to England. And if I know that that's bollocks, then frankly, other people really ought to know. And I think that the English audience were poorly served by the press there, because really you don't have to...
It was just a lazy rumour, wasn't it? Very lazy.
You don't have to do much work to figure that out. As I say, if I can sit in my, you know, in my bedroom in Croydon and have more insight than professional journalists, then that's not good. I mean, having said that, Lewandowski will probably go to Manchester City.
I was
like a complete spanner, but that's okay.
Well, that's okay. I've just put a marker down here so I can pick this out at the end of the end of season review.
Hashtag ITK.
Well, so Jan, I mean, like, you know, can the end of season come quick enough for you?
The end of this bloody game can't come soon enough for me. It's currently
5-1 to Aston Villa, Sunderland are down to 10 men.
Sessegnon's been sent off, so we're
He went over the top of the ball.
Talking into his hand, kind of thing.
I do enjoy this thing. It's like it's very much like you know the not so hidden hand, isn't it?
Can the season come? Well, it can't come soon.
Well, the season kind of, it's weird, isn't it? Because I mean, obviously not for you, because you're now pooing your pants about the whole relegation thing. But
there was a bit of a wry smile on your lips when you said that.
I enjoy Schadenfreude. What can I say? I can't help myself. I like to watch people suffer, and it's one of the great joys of following football. I mean, in fairness, all of our teams have still got something to play for.
Yes.
But it does seem as though, you know, the season's kind of over. I don't know, maybe there's a bit of fatigue because it's been a long old year, you know, what with the Euro 2012, and then we've had the Olympics, which isn't obviously football, but it is like a lot of sport.
Yeah.
I do feel as if I have watched a ridiculous amount of sport over the last 18 months, and I'm quite looking forward to
getting back to porn.
Summer of porn.
Summer of porn.
And you're welcome to come in anytime. Yeah. Yeah.
We're not going to do a podcast called The Sound of Porn.
No.
No, because it's not a very attractive noise.
not if we're involved anyway.
Oh, yuck. See, that's the sort of thing that makes me almost immediately want to do a wrap-up for the pod. it just sets those things firing in my head. Like, you know, and on that distasteful note.
It can't come soon enough. And there's nothing to look forward to in the summer, though, is there? So we'll be a couple of weeks in, and then we'll be like...
Yeah,
wish it was the end of August.
Yeah, once the novelty of not having any football on has worn off after maybe 2 weeks, then it'll be different.
Oh,
we'll be looking back at this moment and going, oh, we should have made the most of it for what it is. So I mean, let's look ahead until the end of the season then, and let's look forward to what's to come. Arsenal almost in the Champions League, 1 foot in the Champions League, 1 foot out of the Champions League.
I don't know, because I mean they're. Their remaining fixtures aren't easy. They shouldn't be difficult, but certainly, you know, the pressure is on them to stay up. I mean, like Tottenham have suddenly found their form again after a few shaky results, and Chelsea are on a great run as well.
I thought it was interesting that you used the expression "they're under pressure to stay up." Obviously, bearing in mind that they're not going down.
Well, no, but it is.
Do you regard your Arsenal as in some kind of relegation battle, but relegation from the Champions League?
Well, it's not, is it? It really is a promotion battle, isn't it? Really, but it is basically.
But for having spent so long in the Champions League and then to drop out of it may seem like relegation, I suppose. Yes. Or whatever. I mean, not that an Arsenal fan would know what relegation feels like.
But I'm sure there are a few that are over 100 years old, so they would know what it. But. Yeah, I don't know if that's a frightening thought, isn't it? But yeah, it's I know what I've heard a few people sort of say, well, it's just sort of kick up the arse that they need. So they're already looking at the positives if they do finish fifth.
Blessing in disguise and all of that. Well, they've got QPR, and then they got Wigan, and then they got Newcastle.
I'm sorry, if you can't get 9 points,
I wouldn't describe that as a tough running at all.
No,
so.
I think it's only the fact that we lost at against QPR and against Wigan at home last season. Drew against Newcastle.
But and as you point out, you know, if you can't get 9 points against that lot, then that shower, then frankly
you don't deserve to be in exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, the important fixture though for Arsenal is Chelsea Tottenham, which is next Wednesday.
Ooh.
Which is the real decider. The one result that Arsenal certainly don't want is a Tottenham win. Because that would make it so that Champions League qualification isn't in our own hands.
Oh right, okay. That's a Tottenham win. So avoiding a Tottenham win from the point of view of
for
Arsenal.
So yeah,
Tottenham fans, of course. It's a
because if Tottenham win, both Chelsea and Tottenham can finish on 74 points, I think, and the maximum that Arsenal can finish on is 73.
Right.
Which is a huge, which for fourth place is an absolutely huge target. I don't think it's ever been that much. It's usually around, if you get 60 points, I think you generally finish fourth. I think that's how it's usually been. So even with this huge...
Tottenham are already on 62, so that's
exactly.
That's clearly not the case, and they may yet find themselves in the in the Europa League.
It's going to be 70 points, which having a Europa League place with 70 plus points is going to be
a colossal anticlimax.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I love the Europa League, but.
Blimey. Yeah, I think
I'd want more from my 70 Premier League points than the place.
But as I say, Tottenham's
away trips to Basel, frankly.
No, Tottenham's season hinges on that game against Chelsea, which is going to be a fabulous game, and I'm going to enjoy watching it.
Are you?
I am actually. Yes. Because it's. I mean, like I wouldn't normally enjoy watching Chelsea versus Tottenham.
Am I to assume that that will be carried on our satellite provider for us all to enjoy?
Well, considering that they put Reading QPR on at the weekend, I should bloody well hope so.
That was 0-0, wasn't it?
Oh God!
What
wasn't
a
it?
Way to get relegated! The most you'd think
they would have gone for it.
You'd have thought that they'd have at least had a big punch up in the middle. I mean, anything just to.
That's what happens. That's what happens when you get rid of Joey Barton, though, isn't it? You see.
Yeah,
he knew how to. He knew how to play the end of the season.
I mean, I didn't watch the game. But I was kind of listening to it. I was in the other room, and it was on in the other room, and it just occurred to me that there just seemed to be this sort of mutual acceptance that they were just going down and nothing. I mean, what a way to get relegated. I mean, it's just.
It was pretty much, you know, yeah, thanks for coming. We've had a lovely day. We're going to take the parachute
payments. We'll take the parachute payments, exactly. And then we'll just all start again, you know, in August in a lower division. But it's a crazy, but QPR season's been just crazy, given that the players that they've got, the money they've spent.
Yeah.
It's just beyond belief, really.
I think they made a big error getting rid of Husey. I said that at the time.
Well, there is interesting.
Not to anyone. Honestly, I said it to myself.
You've got some clubs that are just that are just broken, and it doesn't really matter who's in charge. Look at Wolves.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just that club is boned basically. I've got no idea what it is, but it's clearly not just the manager because they got rid of McCarthy, which on reflection seems like a terrible idea, and they brought in Zolbach, and who up until having his reputation is completely ruined now, but I mean he was a highly rated coach at one stage and fairly recently, and they had done work quite well to get him, but he couldn't make it work. And they got Saunders in, who was again regarded as up and coming, maybe not terribly progressive, but up and coming. They're still going nowhere. Well, they are, apart from down. I mean, they need a miracle, I think, on Saturday or Sunday or whenever it's going to be played. Mm. And, I mean, they need a genuine miracle. It's completely out of their hands. So, you know, I mean, some clubs are just are just broken right from the off, and it doesn't matter who you bring in. And obviously stuff needs to go on in the background in order to make things and change things. And it's really, really tough to do and keep the results going. Because, of course, you've got to keep winning your games.
Yeah. So Wolves, they could be playing Brentford next season down in League One.
They could indeed, and what a seething cauldron of resentment that would be.
Oh yes,
and we still wouldn't get tickets.
No, of course not. Yeah, I can't help but feeling after our wasted journey to Brentford a couple of weeks ago,
after our humiliation.
Yeah, but now we're the ones who are smirking down our sleeves. Yes, pass me my extra wide laughing sleeves, please. Oh dear,
Must have heard the stories, listeners. But
yeah, if you haven't heard the story about what happened, then look on YouTube for Marcello Trotta penalty Brentford or something like that. Yeah. And
it all happened in the last few seconds.
It did, really, watch the story unfold in front of you, because I won't be able to do it justice.
Yeah, but I think we're all agreed that Brentford aren't going up through the playoffs.
No, they're serious.
you're never going to recover from that.
No, so, yeah. I think they failed in the playoffs six times now. I think it's something pretty sad for
it's
them.
It's a grim statistic.
Yeah.
Well, have we got time to talk about who's coming up? Do you think from the Premier League? I know it's a bit of a mixed bag, but
Well, because that's not sorted yet. I mean, that goes down to the wire, doesn't it? Because
so it would seem. Of course, been doing their best to mess it all up.
Yeah, well, to keep things interesting, I think that's how they put it. Obviously, Cardiff are up.
Yes,
but. What has to happen on the last weekend of the season?
So we've got Hull on 78 points.
Yeah,
with one game to go, and then we've got Watford on 77 points.
Right.
So really, it's between those two teams. Yeah. Next one is Brighton, and they're on 72. So there are ways back there, and Hull are playing Cardiff.
Right.
Who are through? Yeah. And since being promoted, Cardiff have drawn.
Right.
Only drawn their last two games.
But they do need to win. They do need to win, don't they? Because obviously, if Watford,
absolutely, Watford, yeah. Now yeah. Hull needed. Now they really could. They need. Yeah, I mean, a point might do it. But I mean, you know, when you're only a point ahead of Watford, then that you're cutting it fine. Hull since Hull have had three opportunities to get promotion. They've lost two of those games and drawn the other one. So they suddenly find themselves going in to this final game of the season.
They ain't going through the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I think as a general rule of thumb, if you finish second and you miss, or if you finish third in your division and you miss out on the playoffs, especially on the last day of the season, you're going nowhere. We won't talk about the relegation thing because obviously, you know, that's just no good. So Watford have got a very, very good chance, and I'm just looking into they're at home, and they're at home to Leeds.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to. That's three points.
Yeah, I reckon that's three points there. To be honest with you, I mean, there was a time when the idea of playing Leeds would make you tremble, but those days are long gone.
Yeah.
And it's going to be some time before they ever come back. Sorry to say. I reckon Watford are going to do that personally. I reckon it's going to be Watford. I reckon they're going
to
take it.
So what do Palace need to do to guarantee their...
Oh, for God's sake. We have the benefit of having an additional game.
You do,
so
yes.
If we get past Millwall at the Den, and they are...
Millwall are technically safe, aren't they? They're not really in that much danger.
Not safe enough. They'll want a result, and it's a derby, so they'll want to win anyway, just to piss us off. And that's fair enough. If we get the 3 points there, then the chances are, 68 points, and Forest have got 67. They're in seventh, so I reckon that'll probably do it.
Yeah,
and get a result against Millwall, and then you know, to an extent, we can then relax in our final game of the season.
So who do you want in the playoffs?
Well, I'm still very much of the mind that I'd like to get into the playoffs in the first place. But I think I'd want Hull.
So you'd finishing sixth would actually be the best thing for you.
Yeah, yeah, in many respects. Because I mean,
Steve Bruce coming back. Ooh.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, they're also because they're hopeless, and I think that we'd have
scathing assessment.
Well, I must admit, Bolton and Brighton.
Bolton,
do
I don't want Bolton.
No,
because that's riddled with pathos there.
Yeah, yeah, having, with the Doug, yeah.
Having you know, sneered at Doogie when he walked out on us earlier in the season and said, "What are you doing this for?" And you know, now they're going to overtake us. And I don't want to play Brighton because well, unless we can win. I only want to play Brighton if we're
allowed to win.
Yeah. If we're not allowed to win, then I don't want to play Brighton.
I think that's a good stipulation that we can all put on any matches that we wish to attend. The clock has beaten us.
Yeah, which is just as well.
Just as well, because we're not going to have a
yeah, just wrap it up, Graham. Come on, these people have got jobs to get back to.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you listen after the music,
down, Jan.
If you listen after the music, you're going to hear Jan's review of the game. So, from me, Graham Sibley, Terry DeFellin, and from Jan Bilton, it'll be goodbye and see you
for 150
and Chris Oakley next week.
It's like Christmas Eve, isn't it?
Yes. Ooh. What are you doing? Oh, there'll be sarnies.
Oh, hey!
Yeah. Bacon sarnies. Yeah. Bacon sarnies. Wonderful. Chris, what
do you have? Do you have brown sauce or do I need to bring
one? No, I have brown sauce. It's 8p. We are on Mum Daddy's house.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
When your daddy's your age,
at one stage we used to alternate because Mrs. Duff is a bit of a daddy's, but
she's a bit of a daddy's girl.
Yeah, that sounds a bit creepy, doesn't it?
Ever so slightly.
We are talking about brown sauce though. sounds even creepier.
Oh dear. Yeah. I'm gonna press the stop button.
That's a good idea.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Stop.